claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Today will be a tad different because I need your help. I'm going to explain. I'm so glad you're here. I love doing these shows. But I'm in an unusual situation where I can make a difference, and I need your help, as I shall explain. Meanwhile, Fox News has run a devastating list of every single current Biden controversy, and it's worse than you think. They just ran a list, and it looked like it would go on forever. Fox News ran a scroll listing the many controversies plaguing the Biden administration during its 8 months. The moment really put things into context and reflects that we are in deep trouble, and I can guarantee you it's only getting worse. Not that we didn't know already our country was descending into complete chaos. That's been obvious for some time, but grocery stores, gas stations, airports, passable portions of the country's southern border, all reminders of how terrible Biden has been for America. Walk by a TV, though, and the larger picture comes into focus. This was especially true on Fox when America Report anchors Shannon Bream and John Roberts, both of whom I regard as quite good, rolled out a list of the ongoing crises, tragedies, and other disasters plaguing the country and its inept leadership. It's been 8 whole months, but it looked like the honeymoon is over. A graphic displaying current controversy scrolled upward as a pair commented on the 18 different issues the network had keyed on. Brain declared not even the mainstream media can ignore all the trouble. Those included, of course, Haitians released, no migrant mandate, mandates for Americans, taxes rising, historic spending free, agenda in jeopardy. Those troubles included reports that thousands of Haitian migrants who've been camped out along the border of Texas are being released into the country. Of course. That occurred after the White House assured us no such thing would happen. This is part of the Kalergi plan to infiltrate Europe with African migrants and to infiltrate the United States with South American and Caribbean migrants to change our demographics. This is an attempt to change the character, the population of the United States, and the Democrats are supporting it whole hog because they regard every one of those migrants as a potential Democrat voter. Indeed, they are flying them to swing states. This is how cynical and crass this is what's going on here. They are flying them to swing states. They'll have a better chance of preserving Democratic control of the House as well as the Senate. Roberts noted Biden was being called out for not calling out China by name at the UN when he addressed the global body and managed to make no mention at all of the world's largest human rights abuser. But then, Biden is a tool of China and, as I shall emphasize, of the Rothschild banking empire, which through their Israeli subordinates control the mainstream media and the American medical establishment and even the AMA, the CDC, the WHO, not to mention the American government. This is all grotesque beyond words. Fox-scrolling Biden's crisis graphic reminded viewers while they face being treated as second-class citizens if they're not vaccinated. No such mandate exists for those who are literally breaking the law by being in the country. They aren't called illegal immigrants for nothing. They're illegal. And yet the Democrats act as though it's perfectly hunky-dory. They should be here in the U.S., as though there were nothing wrong or improper. This is disgusting. If we make it to 2022, the Democrats are going to go down in savage if we have honest elections. I've been repeating for years and years now, the first step we must take to regain control of our own country is getting rid of electronic voting machines, which are being used again and again to steal one election after another. The Arizona audit, extremely revealing. Many mistake the difference between an audit and a recount. The recount showed Biden actually had more votes than the original, but the audit showed that the votes were not legitimate. The votes were not legitimate. There was massive scam taking place. Biden's mixed message about the booster shots, which are not being recommended for the general population by the FDA, so he stopped talking about that subject quickly. But they worked in that they were being recommended for those over 65. So you see phony, dishonest reporting saying they recommended the booster shots, not adding the qualification only for those over 65. Part and parcel of the scam where we were told that the FDA now had approved the Pfizer shot when they had not approved the Pfizer shot. The Pfizer shot is still only with emergency use authorization, but they did approve an equivalent, another mRNA that's only available in Europe. So they had immediately emphasized that it was not available in the United States, because if it were available in the United States, an emergency use authorization would be invalid, because emergency use authorization is only permissible when there are no available alternative treatments, which is why they've had to go after HCQ and ivermectin so aggressively to pretend they're not available use mechanism. This just displays the gross corruption of the CDC and, of course, even of the AMA, which is now telling physicians they may lose their license to practice medicine if they go against these mandates and promotions by the CDC. I am ready to barf my brains out. It's so disgusting. The current administration has managed to anger France, our nation's oldest ally. This is by pulling the carpet out from under them with a submarine deal they had with Australia, buying 12 conventional submarines from France worth billions, by moving for 8 nuclear subs from the U.S. without notifying France, which has recalled its ambassadors from Australia and from the United States for the first time in history. Remember, the French were with us in fighting the Revolutionary War against England, for God's sake. But of course, Biden, who's completely incompetent, has no idea. also moving to leave the Israelis vulnerable to attack from Hamas terrorists. I'm not quite sure what the storyline is there, but the Israelis are profoundly in favor of destroying the United States. You may recall I've mentioned on more than one occasion how Bibi Netanyahu in like 2020 was quoted as having said that America is a golden calf. We're going to suck it dry and tear it into parts and leave it as the world's greatest welfare state because that's what we do with nations we hate. That's Bibi Netanyahu, who, by the way, along with Ehud Olmert, both of whom were former prime ministers of Israel, were the brain trust behind 9/11. Israel attacked us on 9/11. Israel. It had nothing to do with the 19 Islamic terrorists, a half a dozen or more of whom turned out alive and well the following day and made contact with the British media, nor with Osama bin Laden, who was our man in Afghanistan, who was actually an officer in the CIA, Colonel Tim Osman, and who died of his medical maladies in Afghanistan on 15 December 2001. Yes, 15 December 2001, not in 2011 in the raid of the compound. That was just another phony stage event. This is Barack Obama's area of specialization. Yes? So, in case anyone forgot, the U.S. military surrendered full control of Afghanistan to the Taliban last month, where Fox's crisis meter reminded them that's all going on, and we can expect now, any day, a capitulation to Iran over nuclear weapons. It feels like a matter of time before pallets of cash start landing in Tehran. Let me just say, I have told the Iranians they need to acquire nuclear weapons. That's the only way stability is going to come to the Middle East. As long as Israel has a vast stockpile of nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons, they're going to threaten Iran and make it all but impossible to bring peace to the region because they want total domination. The Israelis want total domination. So what the Iranians can do if they will acquire nuclear weapons, which they've opposed on moral grounds, but I tell you, this is real politique. You got to deal with the realities on the ground. That would initiate a period of stability like the Cold War, where we have like 40 years of mutually assured destruction because the U.S. and the USSR both understood that they could annihilate each other. So if one were to attack the other, it would be for naught. Because if we attacked the USSR, they would have the opportunity to retaliate and would destroy us. This is what we need in the Middle East. Meanwhile, Fox also presented a single person in the White House or the president's cabinet has claimed responsibility for the drone strike in Kabul that killed 7 children. Remember, that was alleged to be a suicide bomber. That was trying to get some temporary press. And you see, that's the way they do it. They create a phony story. They get a first impression out there. And by God, most Americans never know better. That first impression sticks. And even though if it turns out that actually it wasn't a suicide bomber, it was a family including 7 children, most Americans never get the bottom line. They never read the fine print. Meanwhile, labor shortages, rising prices on basic commodities, high gas prices are still with us. The Democratic Party is just creating a calamity here. The opening segment from Breaman Roberts served as a sobering reminder of how much trouble the country is in. Simultaneously, failed to capture the magnitude of the situation, meaning, my God, we're in terrible, terrible trouble. Meanwhile, we have setting the record straight. You got a ice guy on a horse, not a whip, but reins used to control the horse, not a villain, a border control enforcing the law, not a victim, a lawbreaker trying illegally to enter the U.S. where he's managing. But according to the Democrats and the talking heads, racist border control agent needs whip to callously terrorize Haitian migrants. Not, of course, truth. Split infinitive used to mislead viewers to whip things into a frenzy. It's just disgusting beyond words. Meanwhile, Biden and Pelosi are pushing their $3.5 billion infrastructure plan that really is the introduction of the Green New Deal. Don't be played. It's hit a stalemate in Congress as he's trying to recast the nation's tax and spending programs. Biden spoke as members in the House and Senate are trying to finish drafts to overcome differences. It's not going to work. We're getting down to the hard spot here, Biden said. We're at a stalemate at the moment. The process is going up and down. Hopefully, at the end of the day, I'll be able to deliver on what I said I would. Well, it ain't going to happen, I'm convinced. The president said his private meeting with 24 Democrat lawmakers in efforts to hasten progress and close the deal went well. But as lawmakers raised objections over the sweep and scope of the plan funded by higher taxes on corporations and the wealthy, it's about paying your fair share, for Lord's sake, said Biden. In a stark reality, however, he suggested talks could drag on to the end of the year. Yes, he said, it's going to take some time. Congress is racing toward a deadline. Pelosi thinks she can make it happen, but I doubt very much. And even if she can in the House, where the progressives don't think it goes far enough and they can block it, where there are a few reasonable Democrats left, centrist Democrats, but they have no room for any defections. It's most certainly not going to pass in the Senate, where both Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema have expressed their dismay and declared they're not going to support it. Pelosi was meeting Friday with her leadership team. The Budget Committee had a rare Saturday session. Biden's big vision over his Build Back Better campaign. Remember, that was Hillary Clinton's campaign slogan. Promise proposes expanding health, education, and federal programs, more services for Americans of all ages, investing heavily in efforts to tackle climate change. Climate change, of course, is the other gigantic scam where we're supposed to believe that CO2 is somehow dangerous to life on planet Earth, when it's actually indispensable. CO2 is processed by plants and trees into oxygen for us to breathe. All these incredibly stupid efforts to promote climate change are outrageous. Even the videos showing melting Arctic ice ignore the fact that we're in stages of the history of the planet on a geological scale. And actually, we've had a cooler winter or cooler temperatures on Earth than ever before. Centrist Democrats see the overall price tag as too much. Progressives are hesitant to compromise any further. Get this. One key Democrat broke down in tears. Democrats are trying to fake a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, really a precursor to the Green New Deal, and the $3.5 trillion socialism bill to impose a Green New Deal and be the greatest expansion of socialism in the United States. But the party is caught between more infaction because moderates are afraid the $3.5 trillion bill will tank the reelection, while the radical socialists think if they pass the now $1.2 trillion, moderates won't support the $3.5 a new socialist spending. So here we have Washington Congressman Pramila Jayapal, who chairs the Radical Left Progressive Caucus, breaking down in tears in front of Biden about the Senate parliamentarian rejecting a mass amnesty for 8 to 10 million illegal aliens being included in the $3.5 trillion bill because it violated the reconciliation process, which Democrats plan to use to avoid a filibuster. Now they can't, because a parliamentarian has ruled that a massive amnesty for 8 to 10 million illegal aliens cannot be included. Now, mind you, for the Democrats, that's 8 to 10 million more Democrat voters. Just outrageous. Outrageous. Meanwhile, a recent poll shows about 60% of Americans are not idiots. The latest Harris-Harvard poll, conducted by Mark Penn, chairman of the Harris poll, Dritan Nesho, CEO of HarrisX, Professor Stephen Ensalaba here, CAPS Director, Harvard, appears that most Americans are fed up with dementia-riddled Joe Biden in his anti-presidency. The emperor has no clothes. The jig is up. The fat lady is already singing the swan song. It makes you wonder how this corrupt crony got into office in the first place, but we know the answer to that. An online survey taken within the U.S., from September 15th and 16th, among 1,578 registered voters, reflect a specific built-in bias based on weight for age with gender, religion, race, or ethnicity, marital status, household size, employment, education, political party, and political ideology, where necessary to align them with their actual population proportions. In other words, they went out of their way to make sure this was actually a representative sample. Researchers can use actual proportions, which are based on historical averages, but should more closely align with election and census data to shape the demographics of the study. For example, most polls include more Democrats than existing, participate in elections, live in certain regions, or believe in liberal positions. More Democrats than there are Democrats. This is like we've had in various counties. Even back in the 2016 election, it turned out in Detroit they had precincts that had more votes cast than voters available to cast them. Most urban centers are assumed to be populated by people associated with Democratic policies. Therefore, the margin of error is probably skewed against Republicans, meaning the statistic should be at least 2 to 3% further lean toward conservatives. There are conservative Democrats throughout the U.S. who are still on voting rolls, but do not associate with a far left political agenda that Nancy Pelosi and House Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez have pushed. We still see most Americans are worried that President Joe Biden is too old, 57% to 43%. Biden turns 79 in November. He might as well be listed as an octogenarian, of which I am an example. But thank God I have greater competence than this nitwit in the White House. We can round up when you're that close to pushing up daisies. For most Americans, the point is not that Joe is old. We love our elders and our grandparents, but we don't want them running the country. Many can barely drive. Well, it's much worse than that. The guy clearly is incompetent. He's clearly suffering from dementia. It's all outrageous. This statistic is nearly represented on every vital issue in the study. Mike Pompeo outperforms Anthony Blinken as Secretary of State by a margin of 63 to 37. Most respondents think the U.S. did not do enough to evacuate Americans from Afghanistan, 62 to 38. Americans believe that Joe Biden broke his promise to evacuate Americans, 60 to 40. A whopping 81% believe the Taliban will not respect the rights of women and girls. Therefore, 20% think that Joe Biden did the right thing, but accept that women will abuse. Nearly 60% rejects Democrat economic policies, incredible taxing and spending. Biden's approval rating has fallen this year from 57% in March to only 48% in September. Nancy Pelosi is one of the most despised lawmakers globally, with a more significant negative rating than positive, 55 to 37, followed by Vice President Kamala Harris, 50 to 41. Meanwhile, think about this. Think about Joe Biden going on television and declaring that the unvaccinated represent a threat to the vaccinated. And therefore, for the nation's safety and health, we have to get the unvaccinated vaccinated. Here's the equivalent. The protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use a protection that didn't protect the protected. I mean, the situation is completely absurd. If the vaccines work, then those who are vaccinated are protected. And if the vaccine don't work, then why in the hell should we be giving them to anyone? Meanwhile, Biden is pushing the absurd idea that the protected need to be protected from the unprotected by forcing the unprotected to use a protection that didn't protect the protected. That's it. Think about it. How absurd, how completely absurd is the situation we're in? Obviously, something is totally, totally wrong. Things are completely wacky. And yet, get this. Canada goes full Nuremberg Law 1935. The unvaccinated cannot marry or hold most jobs. That was true of the Germans in relation to the Jews. And yet we have here a situation in Canada that is paralleling Nazi Germany. I mean, this is just incredible. That's Canada. And you can expect what's happening in Canada and what's happening in Australia is going to come here. Oakville, protecting staff and residents, town to implement vaccination certificate program. Appointments for marriage licenses and ceremonies that have already been pre-booked will also not require proof of full vaccination. However, any new appointment for marriage licenses and ceremonies will be required. The town is not going to let the unvaccinated jeopardize the health and activity opportunities of the community, said Mayor Rob Burton. I mean, this is incredible. Remember, the SARS-CoV virus has never been isolated. The vaccines do not cure it, but suppress symptoms. Indeed, they aren't real vaccines. They're injectables, as Catherine Austin Fitz has emphasized. Those who are vaccinated are not cured and capable of transmission. These are not traditional vaccines, and the risk of them is far greater than those of the virus. We'll be right back.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Just a review of the bidding. These are the key considerations about this whole vaccination business, where the SARS-CoV-2 virus has never been isolated. Now, bear in mind, if they've never isolated the virus, they cannot possibly have a vaccine to deal with it. It's impossible, scientifically impossible. You can only develop a vaccine to deal with a virus if you've identified the virus, which requires isolation, which has never occurred. What that means is these vaccines can't possibly cure it because they aren't really bona fide vaccines. Catherine Austin Fitz has emphasized these are injectables. They're shooting stuff into our body, but it isn't a vaccine. They therefore aren't actually curing us, and we remain capable of transmission. Indeed, we can even reacquire it, which in part and parcel of the absurdity of Biden saying that the unvaxxed are a threat to the vaccinated. It may in fact be precisely the opposite. They use mRNA, which performs a feat of gene splicing. Now, there's a very disturbing Supreme Court ruling of, 10 or 15 years ago, that naturally occurring DNA cannot be patented, but if DNA is altered, then it is capable of being patented. I'm worried that those who get the vax might find their DNA is patented. I mean, their very status as persons may hang in doubt. They might become the property of Pfizer or Moderna. I mean, for God's sake, how awful is that? The risks of the vaccines are greater than those of the virus. We've been reporting forever, though still many in the public don't seem to grasp, that there's a 99.99% recovery rate. There's no need to take a vaccine. There's no need to do anything special about this whatsoever. But instead, and this reveals the enormity of the power behind the entire deception, the mass illusion that has been generated here, the claim is we have 38 million cases of the flu last year. 38 million cases of the flu last year. This year, fewer than 2,000. So what do you think? You think 37,998,000 cases of the flu just disappeared? No, we had a comparable number, but they were all just reclassified as COVID. to start a stampede to produce phony statistics. Remember, lies, damn lies, and statistics. This is a gross abuse. And the AMA, the CDC, the NIH, the WHO are all involved. And for them all to be involved in a deception of this magnitude requires enormous power and resources manipulating them behind the scene. And that, in my opinion, can only be the Rothschild banking empire. Muammar Gaddafi once said, if you want to stop terrorism in the world, just lob a cruise missile into the city of London, which is a 1 mile square area in the center of the metropolis, which happens to be perhaps my favorite city. I visited London 7 times. But I think he has it right, because that's the headquarters for the Rothschild banking empire. So we're being played massively. Meanwhile, they're only authorized on an emergency basis, and I've already explained why they perform this deception. And look at the sleight of hand involved here in claiming to approve of an mRNA vaccine was only available in Europe. So they could now, the propagandists and the talking heads could say that Pfizer has been approved by omitting the qualifiers that explain what's really going on. Even so, these are still only authorized on an emergency basis. And what that means is the Nuremberg Code, which is to control experimental medical procedures worldwide has been grossly violated. Fauci admits the vaccinated still need to wear masks, for God's sake. What's the point of getting the vax if you still are vulnerable to getting COVID again? You still can transmit it. You still have to wear a mask. I'm looking here at when the FDA authorized the emergency use of these vaccines. There's a virtual steady report of deaths, virtually zero reported deaths from COVID until the COVID-19 vaccines were introduced, and now it's skyrocketing, absolutely skyrocketing. It looks like a hockey stick laid on the side. We're looking go down the stick, and that's all the flat line of virtually zero deaths, and then all of a sudden you get the end of the stick shooting upward. So what are the Nuremberg Code, the ethical guidelines? The code is aimed to protect human subjects from enduring the kind of cruelty and exploitation prisoners endured at concentration camps. This was Dr. Joseph Mengele, who was performing involuntary experiments on prisoners. There are 10 elements of the code. The first, voluntary consent is essential. Well, you can only have voluntary consent, and this is all spelled out in the law, if you're informed of all the risks associated with this experimental procedure as well as the benefits. But the risks aren't even known to the public. I tell you, what they know about it is all bad and has been suppressed. We were told they skipped the animal studies, which is improper. If they skipped the animal studies, then it shouldn't be used at all. But I'm confident they actually did the animal studies. It's just that all the animals died. So they didn't bother to go ahead and tell us all the animals died, because then you realize, my God, maybe taking the shot means you're going to die too. And in fact, Sherry Tenpenny has described these vaccines, these mRNA vaccines, as perfectly designed killing machines. You also must be informed of all the available, and as I've already mentioned, even today, that's why they had to undertake a war on HCQ and ivermectin, where I believe ivermectin may have been beneficial to me, where a dear colleague sent me 5 doses times 2, and I was very grateful and came through relatively unscathed. But now since I was diagnosed, you know, they jammed one of those things up my nose before I knew it as having had COVID, and now I'm a survivor, presumably then I have a natural immunity. But you see, that's not going to kill me. So they're denying the existence of natural immunity in effect and wanting to insist everyone's got to get the shot. Well, bear in mind the following. If there's a large group of the unvaccinated, then they serve as a control group against the vaccinated. And when the vaccinated start dropping like flies, and I'm telling you, they already are dropping like flies, then it will be obvious that it's because they were vaccinated. The risk is not of the unvaccinated to the vaccinated, but the other way around, because there appears to be a phenomenon known as shedding, whereby those who are vaccinated can, as it were, share the effects of the mRNA with those with whom they associate. My own wife has been vaccinated. I mean, it's unavoidable for me. Other members of my family have been vaccinated. They wouldn't listen to me. They think I don't know what I'm talking about. Well, you know, they're entitled to their opinion. They're family, right? They're family, and I love them. I'm just terrified by the potential consequences, and I'm obviously not going to abandon my wife because she got the vax. So here we are, and all the risks that are attendant, and I love her, even though she did something I consider to be quite dumb. Meanwhile, here's the second. The results of any experiment must be for the greater good of society. Well, if you think massive depopulation is for the greater good of society, then you can endorse a program. Remember, Deagle.com is projecting the U.S. population will drop from 330 million in 2020 to only 65 million in 2025. 65 million. That's a drop of 265 million Americans in 5 years. Think about it. Can you imagine 265 million Americans dead? And that's more than two-thirds of the U.S. population, two-thirds. So just look around you and figure within 5 years, two out of three, if Deagle projection is fulfilled, are not going to be here. They're not going to be here. In fact, there are going to be so many bodies, it's going to be difficult to accumulate them all, to pick them all up and give them an honest to God, a decent burial or cremation. Meanwhile, human experiments should be based on previous animal experimentation. That's principle number three of the Nuremberg Code. They're claiming they didn't do it because they want to conceal the fact that all the animals died, as I already stated. But if they haven't done it, then they're violating the Nuremberg Code, just as every physician seems to be violating their Hippocratic Oath, which says, first, do no harm. Don't make the patient worse. And yet, by giving these injections, they are immeasurably making the patient worse. Fourth, experiments should be conducted by avoiding physical, mental suffering and injury. But the number of reports coming to adverse, I mean, we're in the millions of adverse effects, and we're in the hundreds of thousands of deaths. And since it's only 10, only 1% are being reported, I multiply that by 10 or 100 to get close to what's actually going on. No experiment should be conducted if it's believed to cause death or disability. Well, we have massive, massive, massive evidence. But you see, the Biden administration is all in on this. The CDC is all in on this. The AMA is all in on this. NIH is all in on this. The WHO is all in on this. Again, I say, there's only one reasonable explanation for how this can be happening. It's that a foreign source who could care less about American lives or the quality of America are behind it. They want to decimate us to the tune of two out of three or more. Remember, the global overall objective appears to be reduce the world's population from 8 billion to 500 million. That involves getting rid of 7.5 billion. And frankly, they're getting a pretty good start here. The risk, six, the risk should never exceed the benefits. Well, overwhelmingly, the risks exceed the benefits. Remember, I've been emphasizing again and again and again, subjects should be able to end their participation at any time. That means you have the right to reject and not be vaccinated. Scientists in charge must be prepared to terminate the experiment when injury, disability, or death is likely to occur. I give you as a prime example, Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci is going to go down in history as the greatest mass murderer. He's promoting death and disability on a massive scale. Now, here are some interesting and significant developments. Fun-hating Fauci humiliated. Study showed packed CFB stadiums are not super spreader events. I mean, how many times have we been told, for example, football games, super spreader, you go there, everyone's going to get COVID. Well, people are going to these college football games and they're not getting COVID. 2.5 weeks ago, fans across the country flooded college football stadiums for the first time in almost 2 years. In many ways, it felt like America was returning to normal again. The trend continued this week as college football teams competed for their third week of the season, now the fourth. One of the biggest this past weekend pitted Florida against top-ranked Alabama. 90,000 fans gathered to witness what turned out to be a nail-biting win for the Crimson Tide. But we haven't had a sudden surge of COVID. It's all nonsense. Now, if you want to see something truly disgusting, and I, as a former Marine Corps officer, find this utterly reprehensible. Biden administration strongly opposes honorable discharge for COVID vax rejectors in the rank. Get this. The Biden administration has come out against an amendment to the defense budget that would prevent the Pentagon from dishonorably discharging service members who refuse to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. Remember, and I've again explained before, we have doctors who are going all out in explaining that those who are vaccine resistant, vaccine hesitant, who don't want the vax, are better informed, know more about the studies and more about the risks involved than those who have taken the vax. It's not surprising that that should be the case, because if you know the studies and you know the risks, you're not going to take the vax. You aren't. And I have dear friends who are in a quandary because their employers are forcing them to take the vax and they got to figure out what to do about it. They're threatening to be fired. That's grossly against the Nuremberg Code, grossly against the Nuremberg Code. And by the way, the penalty for violating the Nuremberg Code includes death, includes a death penalty for violating the Nuremberg Code. The Office of Management and Budget said in a statement Tuesday, the administration strongly opposes the amendment, arguing if implemented, it would detract from readiness and limit a commander's option for enforcing good order and discipline when a service member fails to obey a lawful order to receive a vaccination. Well, number one, these are not lawful orders. The government doesn't have the right to do this. They're unconstitutional. They violate the Nuremberg Code, which is international law here. This is all completely outrageous. So the orders are not lawful. It's an element of the UCMJ that you're obligated not to obey an illegal and unlawful order. You're obligated not to obey an illegal or unlawful order. Obligated. So they're going to force. And when you look at the disability and the devastation and death, what's going to happen? What's going to happen when the entire U.S. military is vaccinated? What is going to happen? Well, you damn well know what's going to happen. More than half of the military is going to be disabled or dead. That's what we're going to do. These perfectly healthy, very fit young men in the prime of their life, by being forced to take the jab, are going to incur massive disabilities or even death on a very large scale. Now, if your objective is to depopulate the world's population, as the genocidal globalists prefer, then it may be you like the idea of decimating the U.S. military, which makes us vulnerable. I mean, this is a question of national security, our ability to defend ourselves. It's very clear that China likes the idea that China and the Rothschilds have common objectives here. In fact, the whole idea seems to be, if you look at Klaus Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, who is himself, surprise, surprise, a Rothschild, that what they want to do is to create a world where everyone is dependent upon the state and no one has control of their own lives. And as I get it, he's promoting the idea that you will own nothing but be happy by 2035 because graphene oxide is in these materials and graphene oxide appears to have the ability to interact with 5G. So they can actually instill thoughts and feelings in your body. In other words, they're going to try and create a hived mentality for everyone in the world, all the subordinates, all the serfs and slaves, everyone who's not super rich, has no original thoughts of their own, no creativity, no actual freedom of the will, which involves acting in accordance with your preference, given your beliefs and your motives and your ethics. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin has issued a memo making the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine mandatory. And listen to this. Shortly after it got full approval from the Food and Drug Administration late that month, well, it's never happened. It has not received approval from the Food and Drug Administration. That's the variation in Europe that's not available in the United States. As of last Wednesday, 88% of active armed forces had received at least one dose. An additional 5% have been fully vaccinated, said Pentagon spokesman John Kirby. Tennessee Republican Representative Mark Green, a veteran like myself, has led the push to prevent the military from discharging service members who refuse a vaccine with any distinction other than honorable via the National Defense Appropriation Act. I am disgusted that the Biden administration is trying to gut my amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act that prevents anything but an honorable discharge for service members who refuse to get the COVID-19 vaccine, Green told the Washington Examiner in this statement. Every Democrat on the House Armed Services Committee agreed to my amendment. It is tragic and horrifying that the Biden administration can't respect the rights of our military that every House Democrat on the committee voted for. That was agreed to even by the Democrats. Kirby, during various briefings dating back to last month, has said numerous times that DOD will provide commanders with tools available to them other than disciplinary action should it be needed. Meanwhile, non-active duty Marine Corps and Naval Reserve service members need to be vaccinated in full by December 28th. Reserve Air Force personnel will have to get the shot by December 2nd. Already reservists need it by June 30th of 2022. It's going to destroy our military. We already have large numbers of pilots who are resigning, getting out of the Air Force. Do you have any idea how much it costs, how much time and effort goes into training an Air Force pilot? It's staggering. Meanwhile, get this, a ray of sanity, Norway. COVID-19 can now be compared to the flu as the country removes its pandemic restrictions. Listen to this. We have one sensible nation in the whole world. Norway will end all COVID-19 related restrictions starting Saturday, September 25th. The government announced, joining a growing list of countries and states that have removed pandemic curbs. It is 561 days since we introduced the toughest measures in Norway in peacetime. Now the time has come to return to a normal daily life. Prime Minister Erna Solberg told a news conference on Friday. The virus can now be considered as one of several respiratory illnesses with seasonal variation, said Geir Bukholm, the assistant director for the Norwegian Institute of Public Health, according to local media. In Norway, COVID-19 has been classified as a generally dangerous disease, but the official classification could change soon, he said. We're now in a new phase, where we must look at the coronavirus as one of several respiratory diseases with seasonal variation. He told the outlet VG, referring to the CCP, Chinese Communist Party virus. This is because the vast majority of those at risk are protected, referring to the country's vaccination campaign. Norway would no longer require businesses to implement social distancing measures. It will also allow sports and cultural venues, as well as restaurants, to use their full capacity. The prime minister's office said nightclubs can also reopen under new guidelines. Meanwhile, the CDC director claims that overruling the FDA advisory group was a close call. This is completely outrageous. CDC director Dr. Rochelle Walensky told Fox News host Bret Baier Friday to clarify the mixed messaging coming from the CDC, breaking with their own agency on booster shot guidelines. she decided to institute a booster recommendation for younger at-risk workers, citing the FDA booster authorization for earlier this week, despite the CDC's own advisory committee on immunization practices panel decision that the booster shot be recommended only for Americans 65 and older and for those 50 with underlying medical condition that put them at greater risk. Why? Well, because they can't decimate the U.S. population if they only allow it for those who are greater than 65. In fact, that, it seems to me, was just a sop that was given for whatever reason. I mean, the votes were overwhelmingly against. I have attended FDA advisory committee occurred on Friday. Listen to the hours of the scientist, she claims. She's a total fraud, by the way. This woman is not qualified to run. And of course, they're running it in such a way as being destructive to the American people. We're in a pandemic here, she says. We're actively getting new information every day. For some, the argument is the reason. Walensky said, what appeared to be an attempt to reassure the public of her steadfast decision-making. For some, that argument is the reason so many remain hesitant to get the jab. Shannon Breen played a clip on her show of Admiral Barrett G. Groit, coronavirus testing czar under the Trump administration, pointing out the lack of safety data could lead to more vaccine hesitancy. In other words, she's admitting we don't have enough data. But how could we have enough data when the virus has never been isolated and when we're not allowed to know the contents? As long as it's emergency use, you see, and this is part of the diabolical genius of the whole program, you do not have to list the contents on the label of these vaccines as long as they're for emergency use. And by the way, the one that was approved in Europe has been subjected to studies by research group in Spain and discovered it has graphene oxide included. And if you want to have your blood curdle, go to my blog and read about graphene oxide and what it does to you. You are going to be dumbfounded. Meanwhile, we'll be right back.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance
and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, you've heard me observe that what goes on in Canada and Australia is coming to America. You can look at them as pilot projects, for example. But there's tremendous controversy in Australia. Australian government attempts to shut it down as Melbourne protesters stand their ground. Australia is a full-throttle pedal-to-the-metal dictatorship. The government shut down internet level at ISP level in order to prevent Australians from showing the world what's going on. Stand by for that to happen here. SHIT is really going down in Australia, and with a media blackout of the Melbourne protests, it's important we highlight the struggle down area, the struggle down under. Australia's the test bed. If she falls, we'll be next. And there's a series of photographs here you cannot see. Here are the Melbourne protest demands. Emergency state powers to be removed immediately. Lockdowns to end immediately. Mask mandate to end immediately. Vaccine mandates to end immediately. Vaccine passports to be removed. Immediate resignation of Premier Daniel Andrews. Immediate resignation of CHO Brett Sutton. Immediate resignation of Chief Commissioner Shane Patton. Royal Commission into government's response into pandemic charges laid against officers for assaulting peaceful protesters. All construction sites to resume immediately. Mass distribution of ivermectin, vitamin C, D, and zinc. They ought to add HCQ to that. Meanwhile, central Melbourne has been declared a media no-fly zone. Media blackout ordered for the next 3 days. A Melbourne man who was flung headfirst to the ground by a police officer who approached him from behind amid a high-intensity anti-protest operation was calling for his mom when he woke up from being unconscious, according to a distressed witness. In other words, he was so severely damaged that he reverted to childhood, calling for his mom. That is just touching. Australian police are out of control. They're assaulting women. They're being vicious about it. From a friend in Australia just now, they have really messed up the internet here today. No page is able to be loaded. They've gone to another level of authoritarian control. And an earlier, I'm very sad this morning about what's happening in Australia. I have loved Australia every time I visit it. Have many Australian friends. The most delightful people. I never thought I'd see police shooting protesters in the back as they ran away. Very sad. Another, they cut the internet in Victoria. They cut the internet in Victoria. Welcome to communism. Complete blackout. Victoria police ordered power cord to shut Wi-Fi and certain servers down within the city. Facebook has also stopped live feed on 90% of the pages in Victoria. And then we have, you know, photographs galore of the massive protests there under bridges in the streets. I hope they speak out. Melbourne police should treat their citizens like pieces of shit. They should not be surprised when the people turn on them. I think Australia is setting a stunning example. And I want to bring you up to date on some of my legal entanglements. As you all know, I confronted a lawsuit here over my book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, which included a copy of a death certificate that was uncertified. It had no file number. It had no town certification, no state certification. I was sued for allegedly defaming the party who'd actually provided it to my colleague, Callie Watt. In the course of the trial, where the complaint sent to me included a copy of a different death certificate that had the file number, town certification, state certification, where the complaint said absurdly that they were not materially different, meaning they were not different in any respect that makes a difference to the law, where that was, of course, a manifest absurdity, since being certified versus being uncertified is a huge material difference. But where I entered the case because I believed that I could present all the evidence I had amassed with my colleagues in the book, where you may recall there were 13 contributors, including 6 current or retired PhD professors, where we discovered that the school had been closed by 2008, that there were no students there, and that it was a FEMA drill to promote gun control. I mean, the evidence we had was massive, even including a copy of the FEMA manual. And all the events on the ground were in conformity. We had the FEMA manual. It says in the manual, everyone must check in with the controllers upon arrival. I think they even got paid or benefits for their participation. We got photographs of the sign, everyone must check in. Porta potties already in place. Pizza and bottled water available at the firehouse. I asked law enforcement experts if they'd ever heard a porta potty set up at a crime scene, and they thought it was so ridiculous. It was laughable, just completely ridiculous. Not only that, but there were many there with name tags on lanyards, which is, of course, how FEMA recognizes or identifies those who are participating in the event by color-coded names on color-coded lanyards. We had parents bringing children to the scene. Now, obviously, no parent is going to bring a child to the scene of a child shooting massacre. Now, to my astonishment, the circuit court judge, ruled when he was laying out the timeline of how the proceedings would be conducted, that I could not present any of my evidence that no one had died at Sandy Hook, because according to him, that was a rabbit hole he wasn't going to go down, and that whether or not that were true had nothing to do with the truthfulness or the authenticity of the death certificate. When, get this, the death certificate says the decedent died at Sandy Hook Elementary on 14 December 2012 of multiple gunshot wounds. I mean, listen, If there's ever been a declaration more legally absurd than this, I'd love to hear about it because this was absurd. So I wasn't allowed to. I had to focus only on the authenticity of the death certificate without even being able to present the massive evidence I had that no one had died at Sandy Hook. It was not allowed to be entered. That meant, in a way, I was defeated from my objective because my whole purpose was to get all the evidence into the public record by means of a judicial process so we could establish on a judicial basis nobody had died at Sandy Hook. Meanwhile, forced to focus only on the death certificate, I managed, before the oral hearing, to secure copies of two more death certificates, one directly from the state of Connecticut, another directly from the town clerk. So there were four death certificates that were introduced into evidence prior to the oral hearing, and where I secured the reports of two forensic document examiners. Okay, now listen to this. According to the law, expert testimony is viewed as being on a par with that of the judge himself. In other words, to be highly authoritative. Normally, in most cases, if there's an expert testifying and the other side does not have an expert testifying, the expert testimony is regarded as definitive. Well, in this case, I had two document experts, both of whom concluded all four of the death certificates were fake. All four of the death certificates were fake. Get this. And nevertheless, the judge, and this happened right in front of my very eyes, I mean, I could hardly believe it, had a conversation with a plaintiff's attorney during the oral hearing, during which he said, well, you know, he said, if I exclude this evidence, then that would be a ground for an appeal. So I'm just going to set it aside as someone else's opinion. And of course, the plaintiff's attorney was very enthusiastic about that. So he just set aside the two document examiners' opinion. And in what I regard as an unbelievably abusive use of a summary judgment, where even first-year law students know that summary judgments are inappropriate in cases of defamation, because it's the issue of whether or not a party has been defamed is highly subjective. So you need a jury of 12 citizens to evaluate whether or not a defamation did or did not occur. The judge nevertheless ruled against me. Now, it's fascinating, and in the appeals that I have submitted, point out, by the wonderful attorney I was able to secure after the summary judgment. Unfortunately, I believe had I been able to secure an attorney before the summary judgment, this would never have happened. Because the abuse of the law here and a procedure were so blatant that one more schooled in the law, a competent attorney, of whom now I have actually two, as I shall explain, would have not allowed it to happen. But of course, because I was pro se, representing myself, he was able to perform various tricks of the trade, shall we call them, with his ruling against me. But they forgot. They forgot to establish one of the elements of the offense of defamation, namely that I had been negligent, that I had done something wrong. Now, given all the evidence I had, concluding a death certificate for any decedent in the Sandy Hook case is fraudulent would be an obvious inference, because nobody died at Sandy Hook. Ergo, any death certificate for someone who died at Sandy Hook could not possibly be authentic. And indeed, it was a finding of my two forensic document examiners that all four of the death certificates in this case were fake. All four were fake. That was evidence in the case before the oral hearing, where he rendered his judgment based upon some falder law from the bullshit from the plaintiff's attorney that I could go through in detail, but I shall spare you for the key point. They never established I was negligent, even though that's an element of the offense, meaning I was never found to be at fault. Now, it's well known throughout the legal community, there can be no liability without fault. You cannot be held liable if you did not do anything wrong. And they didn't show that I did anything wrong. I acknowledged that a couple of the reasons I had given for concluding the death certificate was fake were mistaken, because one of them involved variations in the texture of the document and in the typeface, suggesting it had been typed on multiple typewriters, where I learned a great deal about death certificates in the meanwhile. And it turns out in Connecticut, the death certificates, the blank death certificates, have three different components, one of which is filled out the center section, which is gray, filled out by the medical examiner. The top part is filled out by the funeral director as to where the burial took place and so forth. And the bottom part is filled out by the town clerk certifying that this is an authentic death certificate. And then when it's sent to the state, when they issue copies, they certify there are two copies and there's a file number that the state adds to it. Well, none of that, of course, was on the death certificate that I had published in the book. And they never found I was at fault. I readily acknowledge, yes, some of my reasoning was wrong, but it turned out that in Connecticut, not even parents are allowed to have an uncertified death certificate, of which this was an example, where seemingly no consideration was given to the idea that a jury might find an uncertified death certificate to be fake. So I was cut off at the pass. No determination of negligence was found. When it was submitted to the appellate court, and this is where it becomes very, very interesting. I mean, by the way, you know, they had a separate trial for damages. I mean, they projected an image of the alleged decedent on the wall. They talked about harassment of this guy, Leonard Posner, supposedly by a woman named Lucy Richards, to whom I have no connection whatsoever. They had never established any causal connection between me and Lucy Richards in this harassment. They did, however, have an expert, a doctor who claimed that going through this experience had resurrected his post-traumatic stress that he'd incurred when his son died at Sandy Hook. Notice this is all begging the question, taking for granted that the Sandy Hook shooting was legitimate. So that the jurors, which were all under the age of 30, one man and 11 women, all of whom professed to have never even heard of Alex Jones, if you can believe that. They never even heard of Alex Jones. No doubt because he's known as a conspiracy theorist. And of course, I'm therefore a conspiracy theorist. And I say to you, conspiracy, they tried to make this negativity out of being a conspiracy theorist because conspiracy theorists are investigating crimes that lead back to the government. So they don't want any investigation of the crime. So they designate anyone who's investigating these crimes as a conspiracy theorist. Let me give you a stunning illustration. Robert David Steele, former CIA, had a very prominent website on the internet. He was imposing presence. He was doing a bus tour across America. He was attacked as a conspiracy theorist. Well, think about it. He's former CIA. The CIA is conspiracy central. What do you think the CIA does? They conduct conspiracies all over the world. How about the conspiracy to overthrow the democratically elected government of Iran in 1953? Where this very popular guy named Mossadegh was booted out of office and the CIA rigged it to install the Shah as an authoritarian dictator whose private police, the Sovak, were responsible for torturing and killing tens of thousands of Iranians, thanks to Kermit Roosevelt, a cousin of Teddy, who ran the CIA op. They run other conspiracies like overthrowing Salvador Allende in Chile, where Allende was a Marxist. Henry Kissinger had the opinion, you know, the Chilean people were too dumb to know what government they should have because he was democratically elected. He was machine gunned in his own office, in his own palace. I mean, it's just outrageous. Then, of course, obviously, the Bay of Pigs, the attempt to overthrow Fidel Castro. Do you know the Soviets had learned the date of the invasion, which they'd shared with Castro. The CIA knew that the Soviets knew that Castro knew we were coming. The only one, therefore, didn't know was John F. Kennedy. They left him in the dark because they wanted him to go forward. How about the assassination of the Diem brothers in Vietnam? I mean, look, the CIA is conducting slaughters. They have these death squads down in Central America, blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on and on. Of course, they want to oppose conspiracy theorists because conspiracy theorists are investigating crimes they don't want to be investigated. You got to absorb that. This is a terribly important message. So when I appealed my case to the appellate court, what did they do? They summarily rejected it, and they quoted in one of the first paragraphs the official narrative about Sandy Hook of 20 children and 6 adults being killed by Adam Lanza, blah, 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 in so many seconds, whatever. And they cited a case from Connecticut that had the name Soto, Donna Soto, attached to it, where Donna Soto is the purported mother of one of the teachers, Victoria Soto. Now, it's all very interesting with Donna Soto because it turned out she appears to be the very same actor who played the role of Susan Brough in Charlottesville as the mother of Heather Heyer, who, by the way, didn't die in the automobile crash, but as Mona Alexis Presley discovered, died of a heart attack the following day. The whole thing is just bullshit from beginning to end. But the fact that they cited the Soto case was most interesting, so that when we appealed the denial of the appellate court, where I was now joined by a new attorney from New Jersey, we could point out that while they cited the Soto case, there's never been a judicial determination of who died at Sandy Hook. There's never been a judicial determination, none. And where, by the way, as I've pointed out in so many contexts, the official report by Danbury State's attorney Stephen Sedensky III, which he took nearly a year to complete, has many oddities, including not naming the ages or the specific victims among the children. I mean, it was just bizarre that it didn't even include that information. But where? He failed to establish a causal nexus tying together the alleged shooter, Adam Lanza, with his victims or the weapons he used. For example, it turns out the .22 rifle with which he's supposed to have shot his mother in her bed didn't have his fingerprints on it. So you couldn't connect the .22 rifle to Adam Lanza. Even more astonishing, they had around 150 slugs from the classroom, or so they claimed. And of course, this is all phony baloney. I mean, none of this happened. It's all bullshit. They claimed they had 150 slugs, none of which could be tied to the specific weapon he was alleged to have used. But since they couldn't tie it to the specific weapon, they said, well, it's still possible it could have been used. But they had no evidence. That means they did not succeed in tying together Adam Lanza with the weapons he used and the victims he's alleged to have killed, which one would have thought naively was the objective of the investigation, in which case it's, a tremendous forensic failure, a complete failure. And yet most Americans would naively assume, oh yeah, well, Sedensky did the report, so of course everything's on the up and up. If you look at the footnote, and they buried this key point that they couldn't match any of the 150 slugs, it's buried in a footnote 53. Well, what this means is there's never been a judicial determination that anybody died at Sandy Hook. So when I discovered that there was going to be a Remington settlement with 9 of the Sandy Hook victims led by none other than Donna Soto, she gets around. I authorized my New Jersey attorney to contact the CEO of the insurance, Liberty Mutual Insurance Group, whose wholly owned subsidiary, Iron Shore Specialty Insurance Company, together with AXAXL, will be saddled with most, if not all, of the $33 million payout, to assert that this appears to be an elaborate scam. So I published a blog about it, Jim Fetzer, the $33 million Sandy Hook settlement is an insurance fraud. And that led me to introduce a motion to intervene in the case in Connecticut. And here's what I wrote. Motion of James H. Fetzer to intervene and for extension of time to retain Connecticut legal counsel. Now comes James H. Fetzer, PhD, pro se, to request permission to intervene in this case and for extension of time or in the alternative for a court-appointed local counsel as follows. One, I'm the co-editor of the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill to promote gun control, 2015, second edition, 2016. In that book, I made the assertion that the Noah Posner death certificate submitted by Leonard Posner, one of the plaintiffs in the case, is a fake. Leonard Posner sued me for defamation that resulted in two judgments against me for a total of $1.1 million. That's a $450,000 from the jury trial for damages. And then when I objected that the person who had come and given a video deposition didn't appear to be Leonard Posner, but someone else, because he's at least 20 years younger and maybe 100 to 150 pounds lighter, the judge held me in contempt of court for seeking out an impeachment witness, who was Wolfgang Halbig, who was so stunned by all this that he wrote to four stations of the FBI asking what are the consequences for impersonating Leonard Posner during a video deposition in Madison, Wisconsin. That case is currently the subject of a petition for review filed with the Wisconsin Supreme Court at consolidated case numbers 2020-AP-121 and 2020-AP-1570. I have been injured by the Connecticut Supreme Court opinion entered in this case, published at 331 Con 53-202A-3rd 262, cert denied 2019 by the following. This is that passage in the appellate review. On December 14, 2012, 20-year-old Adam Lonza forced his way into Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown and during the course of 264 seconds, fatally shot 20 first grade children and six staff members and wounded two other staff members with a sight 65. Lonza carried out this massacre using a Bushmaster XM15 E2S semi-automatic rifle that was allegedly manufactured, distributed, and ultimately sold to Lonza's mother by the various defendants in this case. Then, and I added emphasis, italics, there is no doubt that Lonza was directly and primarily responsible for this appalling series of crimes. Now, we'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, you've just heard the citation made by the Wisconsin Court of Appeals for the Fourth District of a case involving Soto done in Connecticut. But, so listen to what follows, point five. The above quote from the Connecticut Supreme Court was cited by the Wisconsin Appellate Court as authority for the conclusion that people died at Sandy Hook. I request judicial notice by this court that no answer has been filed by the Bushmaster defendants, nor has any discovery been taken on the question of did 6 adults and 20 children die at Sandy Hook Elementary School on December 14, 2012. My New Jersey legal co-counsel at my direction has requested all the defense lawyers in this case and those representing the Remington bankrupt estate and its creditors to withdraw their settlement offer and proceed with a vigorous defense. All of them have ignored that request. Accordingly, I have deemed it urgent to intervene in this case, even though I am not represented by legal counsel. Because of the adverse results I sustained in the Wisconsin case brought against me by Leonard Posner, I want to retain an attorney to anchor either or both of my attorneys pro hoc vice to represent me in this case. I believe with time, I will be able to find a Connecticut attorney for this limited purpose. When I was originally served with a Posner complaint, I used my best efforts to retain legal counsel, but was unable to find an attorney to represent me within the time I was allowed to file my answer. I filed my answer pro se and proceeded to present my defense while also searching for an attorney to represent me. In spite of 50 attempts, I was not able to find a member of the Wisconsin bar to represent me before the case was heard and subject to a summary judgment ruling, which I submit was not appropriate because the authenticity of the death certificate remained in dispute. As an aside, a summary judgment is only appropriate when there are no disputed facts in the case. Obviously, the central issue in this case was the authenticity of the death certificate, which remained in dispute. My efforts to find Wisconsin legal counsel were finally successful prior to the trial for damages. In relation to my appeals to the Court of Appeals and subsequently to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, where it stands today, I secured a New Jersey attorney to appear pro hoc vice to serve as co-counsel with my Wisconsin attorney. With time, I believe I can locate Connecticut legal counsel to effect similar arrangements. It is my belief, subject to my payment of fees and costs, that one or both of my current attorneys will appear pro hoc vice in this case, provided they are introduced to the court by an attorney qualified to practice law in Connecticut. I read news reports that the plaintiffs in this case have offered 9 of the plaintiffs total that it should have been defended in this case have offered 9 of the plaintiffs a total of $33 million to settle the case. The acceptance, court approval, and payment of that exaggerated amount will leave the impression with the Wisconsin court that people died at Sandy Hook. The plaintiffs have the burden to prove the truth of that statement. To go forward with a settlement without that proof would allow the Connecticut Supreme Court finding quoted above to remain. That would expose me to future litigation from other Sandy Hook alleged parents and work a fraud upon me. Now, they got the judge did request objections from the parties, and they both objected to my being a participant. In other words, both Remington, which being sued for $33 million, and the plaintiffs objected to my participation, when you would think Remington ought to be combing through my book to find evidence to exonerate itself from a $33 million settlement. The judge then ruled, even though I rebutted their arguments, the judge ruled, order denied. The interests alleged by the proposed intervener are insufficient to allow him to be brought in as a party as such. The motion to interview to James Fetzer is denied, and the court will not rule on the motions he's filed regarding legal counsel and extension of time. The motions are moot in light of this ruling. Now, it turns out that I'm going to appeal that. I can submit what's known as an interlocutory appeal in Connecticut. I can appeal that. Meanwhile, there's another aspect to the case, which is the settlement of a Remington bankruptcy in Alabama. So I have submitted a motion to intervene there as follows. This is the United States Bankruptcy Court for the Northern District of Alabama, Northern Division. Now comes James H. Fetzer, PhD, pro se, to request permission to intervene in this case and for an extension of time to locate Alabama counsel to anchor my own pro hoc vice, or in the alternative, for a court-appointed local counsel for that purpose as follows. One, I'm the co-editor of the book Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill to promote gun control, 2015, second edition, 2016, which has 13 contributors, including 6 PhD current or retired professors. On 22 October 2015, we published our findings concluding that the school had been closed since 2008 and that the shooting had been a two-day FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote the Obama administration's gun control agenda. Amazon.com banned the book on 19 November 2021, even though it had sold nearly 500 copies in less than a month. Two, in that book, I made the assertion that the unsealed Noah Posner death certificate uploaded to the web by Leonard Posner, one of the plaintiffs in the Soto v. Remington case, was a fake. Leonard Posner sued me for libel regarding published statements of my belief that the unsealed death certificate was fake. I was blocked by Dane County. I was blocked by the Dane County Circuit Judge from, here we go, let me pull it up. I was blocked by Dane County Circuit County, Wisconsin Circuit Court to present proof that nobody died at Sandy Hook on the ground that, quote, whether or not Sandy Hook ever happened or not is not relevant to this, the truthfulness or the accuracy of the death certificate, end quote, even though the death certificate states the decedent had died at Sandy Hook Elementary on 14 December 2012 of multiple gunshot wounds. A summary judgment was granted to Posner against me, which violated all summary judgment standards, including discounting the only two document expert reports in the case, both of which said the death certificate was fake. The Wisconsin Appellate Court affirmed the circuit court errors, including the summary judgment errors. I have filed my petition for review, where it is awaiting a ruling from the Wisconsin Supreme Court and available at consolidated case numbers 2020 AP-121 and 2020 AP-1570. When I sought an impeachment witness because I thought the person who testified as Leonard Posner during a video deposition was an imposter, I was held in contempt of court and attorney fees were added to my liability in the amount of $650,000. Which was more than the $450,000 awarded by a Madison jury selected for damages only. as a result of a process in which I was not allowed to present my defense, that nobody died at Sandy Hook, but where two forensic experts concluded that the death certificate was fake, which the circuit court simply set aside as someone else's opinion, I now have two judgments against me for a total of $1,100,000. I've also been injured by the Connecticut Supreme Court opinion published at 331 Con 53, 202A 3rd 262, cert denied 2019. Upon appeal of the exclusion of my evidence by the Wisconsin Circuit Court showing no one died at Sandy Hook, the Wisconsin Court of Appeals, 4th District, responded by citing that specific case as though it were judicial fact rather than the presumption that it is. Since I've read the passage before, I shall not read it again. 6, there has been no judicial determination of the truth and accuracy of that quoted summary above, and there exists considerable irrefutable evidence to the contrary. According to the FEMA manual, which we discovered and published in the book, the event was instead a mass casualty exercise involving children at Sandy Hook Elementary with, quote, exercise date 12/14/12, end quote. It was a FEMA exercise complete with restrooms and refreshments at the firehouse where the participants had to sign in with a controller upon arrival and were identified by color-coded name tags on lanyards during the drill. Even the FBI's U.S. crime report for 2012 shows zero murders or non-negligent manslaughters in Newtown, of which Sandy Hook is a subdivision. When I learned of the proposed settlement between Remington and 9 of the Sandy Hook parents, therefore, I immediately recognized that it was an insurance fraud and published what I knew about it on my blog. I explained the enormity of the deception and added examples to prove my suspicion, including the FBI's U.S. crime report for 2012, the staging of the iconic photo sent around the world of what appears to be a policewoman leading a line of children to safety, where there's an earlier photo that reveals a group of parents standing around while she rearranges the kids to get a better shot, and a demonstration that the official report on Sandy Hook by Danbury State's Attorney Stephen Sadinsky III fails to connect the alleged shooter to his alleged victims and the weapons he supposedly used, which would fail to convict. 8. I therefore submitted a motion to intervene in the DeSoto versus Remington lawsuit on 10 September 2021, and the Superior Court judge for the state of Connecticut issued an order requesting objections to be filed by 20 September 2021 and my reply by 10 October 2021. The litigants replied on 20 September 2021, where both parties insisted that my involvement was unwarranted, even though I was emphatic that there had been no effort to answer the fundamental question, did 20 children and 6 adults die at Sandy Hook? I replied on 22 September 2021, explaining why not only my interests were at stake, but those of the stockholders and creditors of Remington, not to mention the enormous public interest in knowing the truth about Sandy Hook. The Superior Court promptly denied my motion to intervene on the ground that the interests alleged by the proposed intervener are insufficient for him to be brought in as a party. Let me repeat, not only my interests were at stake, but those of the stockholders and creditors of Remington, not to mention the enormous public interest in knowing the truth about Sandy Hook. Those, the judge in Connecticut ruled, were insufficient for me to be brought in as a party. 9. I've been handicapped from the beginning of these legal proceedings, including my early inability to obtain a Wisconsin attorney to assist me until after the erroneous summary judgment had been granted against me by the circuit court, which I am confident would not have happened had I been represented. I was relieved to have obtained legal representation since, when a New Jersey attorney joined my Madison attorney, Pro Hoc Vice, for the petition for review to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. I move for the Connecticut court to appoint a legal counsel for the sole purpose of anchoring one or both of my attorneys in Connecticut for my intervention. The most informative response I received from one attorney was that she knew of no one, quote, with the guts and nuts, end quote, to take this on. It is my belief, subject to my payment of fees and costs, that one or both of my current attorneys will appear pro hoc vice in this case, provided they are introduced to the court by an attorney qualified to practice law in Alabama. I also believe it would expedite justice for this court to make an appointment of local counsel where their participation would be involuntary, and accordingly, they would not have to bear the burden of criticism for having associated with a Sandy Hook skeptic. The importance of judicially providing the allegedly Sandy Hook shooting, judicially proving the alleged Sandy Hook shooting took place on 12-14-12 ought to be obvious even to non-litigants in this case. To go forward with a settlement without that proof would allow the Connecticut Supreme Court finding quoted above to remain. That would expose me to future litigation from other Sandy Hook alleged parents and work a fraud upon me. The bankruptcy plan administrator is not properly supervising the Soto case by approving the $32 million settlement without demanding discovery and requiring the plaintiffs to prove six adults and 20 children died at Sandy Hook. The inference from the exorbitant size of the settlement offered would cause the public to draw the wrong conclusion while they are ignorant of the voluminous, specific, and detailed evidence to the contrary. There is a growing movement that laws should be passed in every state that will not permit the sealing or redaction of any evidence in cases that are used to commit another crime of greater impact, namely the disarmament of the American people against the Second Amendment. If a shooting is never used for that purpose, the crime reports may remain sealed for the grieving. The Sandy Hook school shooting is constantly cited in advertisements for disarmament in violation of the Second Amendment, and the same is used to ruin gun manufacturers against the law of the land. Under these circumstances, all the evidence should be made public. The outrageous $33 million payoff, without determining if the crime even took place, will only harden what might be one of the greatest deceptions in history. Who really wants to be a part of that? For these and other good reasons, I respectfully request this motion be granted. And this morning, I submitted the following addendum. Actually, I had a one-word correction that needed to be made, which I submitted this morning. That's how current you are with the status of this case. Here is what I wrote. Erratum to motion of James H. Fetzer to intervene. James H. Fetzer, PhD, pro se, respectfully submits his erratum to his motion to intervene as follows. The word unsealed, which occurs twice in paragraph 2, should be replaced with uncertified, to be more precise. The unsealed document was attached to the complaint, but the version published in the book was uncertified, with no town certification, state certification, or file number. Two other versions obtained from the state of Connecticut and the Newtown clerk were also entered into evidence prior to the oral hearing, where the two document experts found all four to be fake in their reports. The circuit court judge simply set them aside as someone else's opinion and ruled against me by the abusive use of summary judgment. See the petition for review filed in the Wisconsin Supreme Court at consolidated case numbers 20 AP121 and 20 AP15070 for further substantiation thereof. Now, what I want you to understand too is that the whole business of laying a foundation for these staged events, of which there have been so many, was established by Barack Obama when he nullified the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 by the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, just in time for Sandy Hook. The Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 precluded the use of the same techniques of disinformation and propaganda within the United States that were being used without. In other words, Barack Obama made it legitimate to stage phony events and present them as real in the United States. And we have had a whole barrage, a flood, not only Sandy Hook, but the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas. I have done massive research specializing in bringing together groups of experts to sort these things out. We have been very successful in published books about all, where I have one on Las Vegas in the works, Amazon has now banned 6 of my books. What that means is I'm in the position to take on Amazon.com for a censorship case. We have examples, because the book has been banned because of this defamation ruling. Nobody Died at Sandy Gollar version is available on eBay for $1,499.95. How absurd is that? We have a video of fake NASA footage where the astronaut up in space is a floating version of the book. If you go to False Flag Conspiracies 2020, you can download Kelly Watts' Sandy Hook, A Mass Illusion, and my What Happened at Sandy Hook for Nothing. The point I want to make is the following. There is an opportunity here for to make a difference in support of the First and the Second Amendment. I did a show with John B. Wells on Caravan to Midnight last week. You can find it on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. But the specific reason I want to appeal for your assistance is the following. I'm in a unique position to make a difference in these lawsuits. If Remington folds, then other gun companies are going to know they're liable for any use of their products by any American. This is completely absurd. But Remington appears to be going along with it. This is outrageous and unbelievable. Now, there is a foundation, the World Peace Through Education Foundation, which focuses on the best way to reduce, if not eliminate, the risk of nuclear war. But they also worry that the new world globalists believe the best way is with one central government, one or no religion, and open borders. Their plan is called the New World Order. The New World Order agenda requires the U.S. to surrender its high standard of living, to adopt a digital world currency, and forsake its position as a dominant military power. A major step in the implementation of the New World Order plan is to take our guns. WPTEF is therefore strongly in favor of defending the Second Amendment. That is now our only line of defense. The first was the election of officials who would put America first. Currently, that effort appears to be lost. We do not endorse any candidate or political party, but do support nationalist candidates without result to their race, color, creed, or political affiliation. WPTEF exists to raise funds to support projects that advance our objectives, both about putting America first and defeating the New World Order. We welcome project proposals that are educational, achieving these goals intended to educate the public about the First and Second Amendment, worthy of other similar projects, and overcome censorship in America. I submitted a proposal to the foundation, which they have accepted. They need money to fund it. What I'm appealing to you is the following. I have done literally thousands and thousands of shows. I've done hundreds and hundreds of videos. With the exception of a fee to watch the False Flag Conspiracy 2021, which I, you know, that was a subscription. All of this has been for free. I haven't got a nickel out of it, not a nickel. I'm in a situation where I have the ammunition, I have the evidence, I have the attorneys, and I'm prepared to make a difference to stand up for the First and the Second Amendment. I want to go after Amazon.com. I want to stand up for the Second Amendment. I want to do it in Connecticut. I want to do it in Alabama. But while I am willing to do this pro bono, that's just what I'm all about. The attorneys need to be paid. There are fees. So what I'm saying is, if you can spare 10 or 20 bucks to support my efforts on the First and Second Amendment, I am in unique position to do something about it. There's a donation site at the World Peace Through Education Foundation, WPTEF.org/donate. WPTEF.org/donate. If you are in a position to contribute 10 or 20 bucks, if enough of you contribute, that will make a difference. I will be able to do this. I'm fighting for the First and the Second Amendment. I'm seeking to expose the Sandy Hook scam through the legal system. I'm taking on Amazon.com to oppose its abusive censorship of books. I'm intervening in the Soto versus Remington case for the Second Amendment. I'm conducting conferences on false flags and conspiracies. There'll be another this year that from the beginning will be open and free to the public. So please consider, can you lend a hand? If enough make a modest contribution, I can do something that could have consequences that are far out of proportion to the investment you would be making. There is the enormous stakes are at work here, enormous stakes. It would be simply absurd for a Remington to settle in a situation where, let me just read that last part. The Sandy Hook school shooting is constantly cited in advertisement for disarmament in violation of the Second Amendment. And the same is used to ruin gun manufacturers against the law of the land. Under these circumstances, all the evidence should be made public. The outrageous $33 million payoff, without determining if the crime even took place, will only harden what might be one of the greatest deceptions in history. Who wants to be a part of that? I repeat, if you can lend a hand, I'm not talking for, you know, your family legacy. I'm asking if you can lend a hand for 10 or 20 bucks. Try WPTEF.org/donate. They take credit cards, debit cards. You'll get a receipt, and guess what? It's tax deductible. You make a contribution to the fact to the foundation. It is tax deductible. WPTEF.org for World Peace Through Education Foundation /donate/tax deductible. Any help you can give would be most welcome. This is for all the marbles. Without the First and Second Amendment, we don't have America left. I'm doing this for the sake of the nation, for all of us. Lend a hand if you can. I would be eternally grateful. Thanks.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I've pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect, Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict.